We'd like to get started, so if you can get your amendments and quiet down a little bit, we'll get started while we're processing some paper here. I'm going to call to order the Capital Investment Finance Division meeting today for the capital investment bill. And what we, Tuesday, February 9th, what we're going to do here today is we have a number of amendments. We have 15 amendments that I'm aware of. And so what we want to do is move as quickly as we can. Somebody else has the room at 4:30, so anything that we're going to adjourn or until we would recess at 4:15 until 8 p.m. tonight and come back at 8. So what we'd like to do is move the amendments and the discussion along as quickly as we can, and we can possibly get through this bill today if we work really hard at it. But that's our goal.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr.
I'd like to move approval of minutes from March 31st, 2009, January 21st, 2010.
Representative Davis moves approval of the minutes of March 31st. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I'll pass on the roll call at the same time.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Was that, Representative Davis, was that also for January 21st?
Yes, Madam Chair.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. So today we have... First of all, on the agenda is House File 2590, and I believe Representative Hausman would like to address that bill and what the status is of that bill today. Representative Hausman.
Yes, Madam Chair, and I will promise you I'll do my part to get us out of here quickly. I don't intend to even go line by line through because our bill has been out for so long that I'm sure... people know the content, and of course the reason we want to hurry along is lest you haven't got it on your calendar, St. Paul is welcoming you back with a welcome back to St. Paul party tonight that I hope we're all able to attend, and I hope we can relax a little bit there. House File 2590 was actually, the core of that was a brainchild. I have to give credit to Representative Dean, who offered an amendment at one point where they painstakingly went through all unexpended bonding. The committee quickly discovered why some of those are unexpended, and we went through a more deliberative process. We slowly looked at all of them over months. Some of them are canceled in this bill.
By the way, excuse me, Representative Hausman, 2590 is not in your packet if you're looking for it.
That was pulled from the agenda, and I'm just explaining particularly if there are audience members who saw it on an earlier agenda. MMB said to us it has some cost issues that were not immediately clear to us, and certainly it's not something that we ought to be speedy about. So my guess is we might look at this at a meeting sometime later, but it's not going to fast track with the bonding bill. So that one was removed because of advice that we received from
So Representative Hausman removes House File 2590, and then Representative Hausman to your bill today.
And I will move House File number 2700.
Representative Hausman moves House File 2700 for discussion to your bill.
And I just couldn't resist this. Some of you know that I'm a former teacher, and history was, at least for a while, a major of mine. And I came upon this little snippet from the Minnesota Historical Society that I thought sets the context for this bill. In the panic of 1857, even before we were a state, Minnesota's economy tanked. The credit market was frozen, and there was no available capital to speak of. The state's leaders knew that getting railroad construction on track in Minnesota was critical to needed economic development to help move the state out of the throes of the worst economic depression of the 19th century. So when the first legislature convened in December of 1857, it immediately passed legislation authorizing the state to let bonds for railroad construction. I think it sets the context that in times of serious economic circumstances, since Minnesota became a state, smart bonding initiatives have been the driver of economic development initiatives that have made our state what it is today. Now more than ever, we should follow through on that tradition and build the infrastructure necessary to make our state competitive in the future. I had a video referred to me. Some of my family, knowing I was spending all my time in infrastructure, watched the History Channel, and they watched a program called The Crumbling of America. And I asked our library to order that video. I thought I could show it, and then I discovered there are some rules about that. So all I can tell you is it's a very good video, and you could check it out in the library. But it talks about what our country for a number of decades did relative to infrastructure. And then, because we lived on the riches of our forebears and the wisdom of our forebears, we sort of stopped as a state and nation in those investments. And a lot of them are invisible. But there were some instances that sort of woke us up to a new look at the importance of infrastructure for a healthy economy, for the economic competitiveness of our state. And that is what the bill is before you. Some of you are on the Jobs Task Force and know that Tom Stinson at our very first meeting said there's one thing the state can do for the short term for jobs, and that is to pass a bonding bill and to do it early. And we have taken that to heart because we believe if we can take full advantage of the upcoming construction season, that we are doing our work well. As always, this bill reflects some broad priorities. Higher education is always at the top. Transportation, including now transit, as this mode shift that we're doing, and of course, clean water and wastewater infrastructure. The bill does come in well under Minnesota Management and Budget's new debt service guidelines. It invests in regional economies and is designed to take full advantage of federal and other non-state matches. We asked, how do we get ready for the economic recovery as we shape this bill? And we believe that when you invest in higher education, particularly in those new areas, science, technology, engineering, math, we are providing the facilities that are going to train the workforce of the future. Wastewater infrastructure is sort of invisible until your community doesn't have a sufficient infrastructure to allow a local business to expand, and then suddenly it becomes an issue. And of course, we know the importance in this state of all of those transportation investments. This bill, I would suggest, is one bright spot in a gloomy economy. One little thing we can take advantage of, and that is that interest rates are low and construction bids are coming in one-third or more lower than projected, meaning the taxpayer dollar can go much further this month if we don't delay. I was requested to come to a meeting of CEOs of engineering companies from around the state, a rather large room full, and they asked what could they do to pass a bonding bill. And then they all told me their stories that are quite compelling. I think this repeats itself across the state. People have an interest in this bill that perhaps they have not in the past. Some people who have written in the newspaper and perhaps written to you are confused why we're talking about a $1 billion bonding bill. Some think that it is spending $1 billion today, and they wonder why we don't use that to balance the budget. And actually, I wish it were that easy. I wish there were really $1 billion in the bank that we were proposing to spend in this way, and we could use it to balance the budget instead. But it is not transferable in that way to solve a general fund problem. I've described it more as it's your family's mortgage on the house, something you pay for over the long haul, and this bill funds the state's house, all public infrastructure. I should also tell people, though it seems as though because we're moving these bills so quickly at the start of the session, We didn't just throw this bill together, and everyone sitting around this table can testify to that. There was much work, at least a year's worth of work, and traveling around the state, and I thank you all for the role you played in that. Some elements of this I think I've probably been working on for 4 years. A bonding bill is different than others. It requires a supermajority, and so it's very carefully put together. It needs to be clear to people that it is fair statewide, that it's an equitable distribution of taxpayer dollars, and that it's balanced among areas of responsibility. I think it's important to discuss just briefly the size, because that is the subject of some public conversation as well. As I mentioned earlier, we have new debt service guidelines that the Pawlenty administration has put before us. We've stayed well within those guidelines. In your packet, you have a chart that you've seen before to show how much more debt service we would have to come up with if we passed a billion-dollar bill as opposed to the $725 million that's provided for in the forecast. And our fiscal analyst prepared this, and in the year 2010, we don't have any additional debt service that we need to provide. In 2011, it's $2.5 million, and 2012, it's $9.7 million.
If so, members, if you're looking for the chart, it looks like this in your packet.
So very quickly, Madam Chair, I'm not going to read through this line by line. I'm just going to make some broad comments because you have all read it, and I'm sure everyone in the audience has read it as well. One of the things that we should also mention is that many of the projects in here, if not most, leverage some sort of other money, either federal dollars, in some cases significant, federal dollars, local dollars, and private dollars. So though this is an amount of construction, there are dollars on top of that. I should also say something about higher education always is the major part of the bill. I represent the University of Minnesota, and you see that I've been a little more generous to Minsku. And I don't think any of us oppose, for example, the physics and nanotechnology building. That was a preference of the university that we always asked for priorities. Falwell ranked first and physics and nanotechnology second. The Senate bill has planning dollars in for that project, and we certainly are, I think, open to future discussion about that. But in the case of Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, frankly, that is right now where the stress of higher enrollments is happening. And one of those is connected to the economy, that people who are unemployed are choosing this time to go back to school and to prepare for perhaps a different kind of job. And many of these institutions are feeling that. And so as we were looking at those requests, it was very, very painful for me to be more ruthless in that part of the bill. In the case of property acquisition on your spreadsheet near the end, you note that there's no money for Dakota County Technical College property acquisition. That project has already been completed. That's why you don't see it. And there were only two other property acquisition issues that we felt perhaps could wait to another day. You see a couple of projects in Department of Education, including that one of those near and dear to Representative Murphy, the Library Accessibility and Improvement Grants. We fund a couple of projects for Minnesota State Academies, and we'll have at least one or two amendments, I think, to make some of their unspent dollars more flexible. We have a couple of projects for the Purpich Center for Arts Education. The DNR I won't talk about now because I'm going to specify language later because it lists trails, etc. So for the time being, we'll skip over that. And in the PCA, you note we fund Becker County, Pope Douglas, and Redwood County, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Minnesota Zoological Gardens, we have the Minnesota Zoo and the Como Zoo, and Duluth Zoo is continuing to work at a series of projects designed to bring them to full accreditation. This is a portion of the bill that I have to tell you, I don't think any other portion of the bill involves quite so many visitors. I think when you add those up, probably 4 million people go to these sites every year. It's a huge addition to the livability and education in our state. A little bit of asset preservation and admin. We took only the first priority of amateur sports, the National Volleyball Center. It's been in the process for quite some time. We fund all items in military affairs, asset preservation a little bit less. And we fund all of public safety, with the exception of the Emergency Operations Center. We absolutely acknowledge their current site is inadequate. There continues to be some work on the site. And in visiting with Representative Paymar, whose committee this goes through, I think he continues, and we hope to continue to have more conversation about other sites before we move forward on that. So supportive but and acknowledging the current site is inadequate, but not quite ready for it. Under Department of Administration, I can tell you that Greater Minnesota Transit used to be that kind of standard number every year. And I, for one, am going to be increasing that number every year. There is a greater demand for transit in Greater Minnesota, just as in the metro area. And I think it's an issue you're going to be hearing much more about and that we have to increase over time. Under the area of transportation, I just want to talk to you about two particular projects to give you a sense of how transportation infrastructure drives or is part of economic growth in an area. In the case of port development assistance, I visited Winona and they handed me their newspaper, A Recession, Port Tonnage Up in 2009. And they say Winona's Port Authority hopes to add even more port traffic by building a new dock in the city's commercial harbor in 2010. What we learned is that they doubled the tonnage through that port, and you have to only think about the additional business on land that grows up around that kind of growth. And so when we invest a little bit in port development assistance, we help a city's economy grow as well, and ultimately that helps us all as a state. In the case of Thief River Falls, you see we fund an airport hangar. DigiKey is a major employer. They employ 2,000 people. And they made a commitment to those employees during this economic downturn not to lay off anyone. They liked their workforce and they kept their workforce. And now they are even at a point where they can add another 150 new employees. They are internationally competitive because they promise delivery of their product within, it's escaping me right now, 24 or 48 hours. I'm not quite sure what it is. And they deliver. But they deliver only because every morning in the winter, in those sub-zero temperatures in Thief River Falls, they thaw out the airplane and they thaw out the broom that sweeps the runway. And so if we, the state, partner in some way with that airport, if we partner with them, we can feel, I think, some sense of helping a very strong Minnesota company hire more employees. In the Metropolitan Council, if you've been in my office, you know I have lots and lots of maps. This is an area where we've sort of turned the corner, and we are building a system that will serve not only the seven-county metro area, but well beyond, with transportation alternatives, transit corridors, whether it's bus rapid transit or light rail or commuter rail, And everyone, including the business community, now understands the importance of that particular addition to our transportation system. It is, in fact, something that business and industry ask when they think about relocating to an area. What sort of transportation systems do you have? We believe this is part of how we're going to prepare for the future. Under DHS, you see we have asset preservation, early childhood learning facilities, and the project that replaces unmarked graves that we have been working at for a while. You note we don't fund this year the Moose Lake facility. I did meet with numbers of subgroups of this committee and asked specifically about this, and I think there was rather broad agreement that we weren't quite ready to go this direction this year. And I think one of those reasons is the daunting amount. $89 million is certainly not a small amount. And I know there are still other options being talked about. I heard one that Linda Berglund was talking about today. We know there are people in the state who have facilities that are standing empty, and so there's some conversation about are there more cost-effective ways to deal with this this certainly overcrowding situation. So, again, not opposition, but hoping that there might be other answers on the horizon. In the Veterans Affairs Department, believe it or not, there's the Laverne entrance enclosure. There's not even an overhang that protects them from the elements as they go in. We have funded that. We were going to fund the Hastings Master Plan. They are taking a step back and looking at what they should do with their campus and facility. But the language used the term study, and I'm always advised that a study is not bondable, and so we know that they're doing some local work. Department of Corrections, there was a little bit of I think, misunderstanding and confusion about the radio system, and initially we had it in. Then we understood a portion was not bondable, and we funded instead the Oak Park Heights project. It is, however, in the Senate bill, and so it does give us an opportunity to have a little more conversation about that and a question about whether we need to make room for that this year. The testimony in the Senate was that by 2013, if they didn't do something, that there would be fines, I think. So we've got a little bit of time, but certainly we want to have that discussion in as we discuss the bills with the Senate. Under deed, you see sort of a broad range of investments that are spread, hopefully, in a fair and balanced way across the state. We invest in some regional economies. We really believe that that keeping healthy regional economies around the state is good for all of us. I don't want everyone moving to the seven county metro area and probably vice versa. And so we have made some economic development investments. I'll just cite one. In the case of Ramsey County, that is a connection that allows St. Jude to expand, I believe, Madam Chair, on both sides of Highway 36. There are a huge amount of jobs at stake there, and I think some growth planned by that international company as well. We do a very aggressive Public Facilities Authority investment. You have in your packet the list. And the only thing you need to tell your local governments is they just have to continue to work with Terry Kuhlman. They can't just sit and hope it all happens. That even if you're on the list, unless you're moving forward with the appropriate paperwork when it needs to be in, you don't necessarily you aren't necessarily assured if you have not completed all of your local work. We always encourage you to tell your local cities that the department and Mr. Kuhlman are very, very helpful in helping to sort through that process. We have $10 million for public housing under Housing Finance, Minnesota Historical Society. We fund three projects. You notice a number of cancellations. That's about as good as we could do after all of the work trying to identify what was able to be canceled. And then the last two items that I want to say just a little bit about. We have on lines 390 to 395, the $5 million in foreclosed rental property rehab by nonprofits in support of housing and debt service. Now, I, in full disclosure, and I'm not going to ask the Ways and Means Chair to commit at this point, but when I get to Ways and Means, he may ask me to take this out because, as you know, we don't have cash, we are cutting in all parts of the budget. But I have to tell you, I just couldn't bring myself to write a bill and not put some line on the table for this particular housing crisis. I mean, it really is something that I wish we could address, and I'm hoping that there might be some way we can figure this out. And then we sort out a couple of things under flood hazard mitigation and prevention. Some of it is traditional levees, and there is impoundment, water retention. We have learned a great deal as we toured the Red River Valley and from those communities, and also from Representative Wagenius about the importance of water retention. You may know that the environmental groups are encouraging a look at this particular part of the bill and saying that water retention becomes an important component of this. And the good news is that $30 million for Conservation Reserve matches at least $42 million of federal money. So we have a significant federal match. I'm going to just call to your attention a few pages of language. We're not going through the language either, but if you have the bill before you, on pages 16 and 17, you see the list of all of the dams in Goodhue, Dakota, Goodhue, Hennepin, Pine County, Kitson, Mille Lacs, Chippewa, St. Louis, that are eligible. We also have specified $900,000 to renovate the Lanesboro Dam and $2 million for the Coon Rapids Dam. On page 18, you see one of the SNAs that we are proposing to purchase in Dakota County. And on page 19, you see the section on State Park Rehabilitation, Sudan Underground Mine, Itasca, Fort Ridgely, Whitewater. And I just want to call your attention to the lines 1929 to 1934. You remember when DNR was before us and we asked, how come you have so much unexpended bonding authority? And they said, well, we have to wait until we get the entire bonding authority before we can even start the project, unlike Minsky that can do some of the acquisition and pre-design. And so Representative Wagenius added language that said up to 1% of this appropriation may be used for project pre-design for next funding cycle. I believe the department likes that language. They tell me that the other three lines, at least 80%, must be spent during the 2010 construction season. They want to have some conversation about, and I'll let them have that conversation with Representative Wagenius, because that is, I think, put in there as motivation to say we really don't want those dollars unspent for years. We really wish that rehabilitation could happen quickly. So I thought I would call your attention to the concern and for your information. On page 20, you see State Park and Recreation Area Acquisition and Development. We specifically reference William O'Brien, Split Rock Lighthouse, Cuyuna Country State Recreation Area, Wright County to acquire land for Bertram Chain of Lakes in the regional park. Again, on 20 and 21, here I think for the benefit of the audience, I will probably just read the name of the trails, because if people don't have the bill in front of them, they might wonder if their trail is mentioned. Gateway Trail, Loose Line Trail, Munger Trail, Paul Bunyan Trail, Root River Trail. And by the way, I should say something about that. I think we sometimes have talked about trails as sort of an unnecessary thing in economic hard times. As we traveled the state, we discovered two important things that are clear wherever local communities work on these. And we started to call this infrastructure for healthy living, because what communities were telling us is, you know, when you build it, they actually use it, and people get healthier. And some of them, not just in the seven-county metro area, but around the state, said, when we work on connectivity, people are using this to commute to work or to commute to school. So it becomes, biking becomes, in this case, not recreation, but their transportation alternative. And, of course, Representative Davids can tell you the story of Lanesboro, where when they invested in the trail, it transformed the economy of the town. And I think there's even been an article written about that. So in small ways, those investments can sort of change the shape of people and towns, I guess. You notice on State Trail Acquisition and Development, we have Blazing Star Trail, Browns Creek Trail, Casey Jones Trail, Cuyuna Lakes Trail, Gateway Trail, Glacial Lakes Trail, Ichigami Trail, Goodhue Pioneer Trail, Heartland Trail, Loose Line, Milltowns, Minnesota River, Paul Bunyan, Shooting Star. And the same language at the 80% and the 1%. And a section on regional trails and trail connections. And here you'll notice the thing that we always stressed when we traveled to these towns and they made their pitch. We always asked about connectivity. What does it connect to? And so you see in the text information about that. The Dairyland Trail, for example, connecting to the Lake Wobegon Trail. Dakota County for a bridge over the Cannon River to connect Lake Bilsby to Milltown's State Trail. Rochester to connect to the Douglas State Trail. Ricori Trail. The Shingleby connection. Representative Howes is, you know, ever the fiscal conservative, told us that we have a little too much money in the bill for him. So at some point we may adjust that, but we thought, we, you know, for the time being anyway. So some people may be spending parts of that already. Granite Falls, a suspension bridge over the Minnesota River. Stagecoach Trail, connect the proposed Prairie Wildflower State Trail to the existing Douglas State Trail. And Kerry Lake. Siouxline Trail, Camp Ripley, Mississippi River, Crossroads Trail. There's a Rum River in Malacca, a Rum River buffer and bridge replacement. Some of you who were on our tour remember we got to one location a little late. Remember Fort Snelling, Upper Bluff, when we shined the headlights of the bus onto those crumbling buildings, and we have some emergency building stabilization at Fort Snelling, Upper Bluff. I will tell you frankly, I wish we were doing much more. I feel huge personal responsibility about that historic asset. And then I think I noted that under capital assistance program on 26 and 27, there are three projects in Becker County, Pope Douglas in Alexandria, and Redwood County in order to allow processing of recyclables. On page 40 and 41, though we list the whole plan for Metropolitan Council and we list all the corridors, we do specifically reference a couple of North Star stops, Foley Boulevard, the Ramsey North Star commuter rail in the vicinity of the city of Ramsey, Minneapolis Transportation Interchange, a parking lot and transit station shelter in Rosemont. And I think that for the sake of very quick spreadsheet and language is sufficient. I think I want to just in conclusion talk a little bit about the issue of jobs. You have a handout in your packet. It says sample estimates jobs created. There's a lot of interest in that, and we're frequently asked to give specifics, and we used to give one broad number. And the problem is, once you put a number out there, somebody wants to disprove it. So I thought the easier thing to do is to accumulate what others say about it. Some people have said this bill shouldn't be the state's main employment strategy. I agree. Nobody is claiming that this bill is the state's main employment strategy. It is only one small thing that we are trying to do. Some have said this bill just funds temporary jobs. I talked to one of the representatives of the trades this morning, and he pointed out to me all of our jobs are temporary. I mean, if you think about it, there's a construction job, and it ends, and you go to another construction job. All of our jobs are temporary. And I think that's a helpful reminder about the nature of what we're talking about here. But you see on that sheet in your packet, the state economist's estimate, Minsky's estimate, the U of M estimate, even the RIM and Wetlands Reserve Program have broad estimates. One in that area of investment in regional economies, there were three convention centers in Rochester, St. Cloud, and Mankato. And when we added up what they told us, those three lines in the bill, create 1,169 jobs for three projects. I think those kinds of things are perhaps a little more helpful. We also, and this is not in your, I was just going to reference the trails, but I think that was not printed, but what the Parks and Trails people have given us is what the cities will contribute and the dollar amount for federal funding. And just as I looked through here, I see, for example, in the Paul Bunyan Trail, $1 million in federal funding, matching funds from Washington County and Browns Creek. The Gitche-Gami Trail, $1.6 million in federal matching funding. So there's just a large amount of matching funding that I think is important to reference. I suppose just the one other issue, because it got a little publicity this week, and I think one of our amendments deals with this. This unsolicited sheet of paper we were given that I think is also in your packet. When we were in Duluth, looking at the progress report of that construction on the waterfront, they handed us the sheet that talked about all their Minnesota-based arena contractors. Now, for obvious reasons, we would never write that into law. But they still told us how they intentionally went about choosing Minnesota-based contractors. Now, in some cases, they weren't able to. They went across the border to Superior for something, they needed to go to Grand Rapids. But what it tells me is people know we're all in this together. These are hard times. This is one small thing we can do. And in return, I think local communities are saying, we want to be part of helping put Minnesotans to work as well. So, Madam Chair, that is quick. I'm open for questions, and we have some amendments.
Thank you, Representative.
I do have one, two authors' amendments. I don't know if you want to.
Before we get into that, I just wanted to say, for those of you who came in a little bit later, our intent is to recess at 4:15 and reconvene again at 8:00 tonight. So we want to be concise and efficient with our time. We have 15 amendments that we're aware of. But I do want to say that Representative Hausman is one of the hardest working legislators I have ever met. And as we've worked through these bills, we had $3 to $4 million worth of requests. And you know what a tough job it is to scale it down. Yes, $3 to $4 billion.
Billion.
Yes.
By the way, Madam Chair, I didn't mention in their packet they do have the list of all the Minsky HEPA projects, so they can go to their campus and see what projects are funded there.
And we forgot at the beginning of the meeting to introduce our new pages. We have two new pages this year. Maybe you could stand up and wave your hand at us. Andy Lee, welcome and thanks for your service. And Dylan Kelly, welcome and thank you so much for what you do for us. We really appreciate it. It makes everything go so smooth. So we're glad that you're here. And with that, Representative Hausman, to your amendment.
Madam Chair, I would move the A16-1 We have combined a number of non-controversial amendments that were requested or that were oversights. In the case of on page one, the Rochester co-location of the community and technical college came from two different committees, and we put the one in and didn't do the other. The other is doesn't change the GO total. It's user financed, and that this language matches the Senate language. On page two, lines 3 to 2.7, that is language requested by the Department of Education regarding the Red Lake project. There's no longer a reference to phase four, and the Department of Education asked for that change in the language. Page 2.8 to 2.10, we have in this bill a very dangerous railroad crossing in Representative Solberg's district that we have put under MnDOT's grade crossing, but to make clear that the department's, this doesn't, this is separate from the department's improvement program. Just the language is clarifying. On 2.11 and 2.12, Representative Abler has a portion of the bill. There was one sentence that we believed was unnecessary and maybe a little unclear. We have deleted that. Lines 2.13 to 2.18, just to make very clear that the Hastings Park and Ride on the Red Rock Corridor is an eligible project. Corrections requested the language on from 220 to 231 to give them the same opportunity that Minskew has to for unspent portions of an appropriation to be used for asset preservation. The language on 232 and 234, when you bond for a nonprofit, they in a sense turn their property over to the municipality, and that municipality becomes the operator. And so this language is to clarify that. On the top of page 3, Historical Society requested that language. It matches the Senate language. And on 3.7 to 3.28, that language was requested by Representative Slawick to accompany her grants to early childhood programs. There is one line, 3.29, that is information from MMB that we didn't have earlier, and I think Ms. Zewers gave us that information to add a corrected total. And then the rest of the bill are two changes to the Red River Basin, where we listed some projects that met criteria, but we didn't include them all, and so the easiest thing was to take out the entire list and just say the definition of the of those who qualified was sufficient. So, Madam Chair, that is the amendment.
So, Representative Hausman moves amendment number one. And is there are there any comments? A16 amendment. Are there any comments by members? Hearing none. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And then, Madam Chair, I would move A29. This came in relatively late, so I didn't get to incorporate it in the author's amendment, but the academies have asked. This is not new money. The $25,000 is previous bonding authority for Freshette Hall, and we are changing that to asset preservation on either campus.
So Representative Hausman moves the A29 amendment. Are there any further questions by members of the committee? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Then the next amendment that we have on our list would be the A3 Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move amendment A3.
And to your amendment, Representative Leader.
This amendment deals with the local bridge funding, local bridges, in the process how they are the programmed through the state and how they're handled. Right now, the department, Minnesota Management and Budget, and the bond committees are concerned that there's no protection for the state because there's state monies in the when we get local bridge monies, they there's a form now that each county has to fill out for each bridge, or each, not only county, but any governmental agency at the local level has to fill out about a 40 to 50 page resolution, not a resolution, an agreement, and the county attorneys are objecting to this in some cases and modifying the agreement. So they're getting agreements for every bridge. And when the legislative auditor had looked at it, and also, I guess, management and budget, and they've looked at the way the Department of Transportation handles it, and they actually have the capability and show all the language and necessary filing that they need. By this amendment, we're trying to assume that the counties don't have to go through and make each resolution for each bridge to process it, because it does delay it. So this basically would set up a situation where they'll have to take a look at it, and temporarily they will come up with a new agreement, or somehow at least get the bond committee and management and budget to agree that the storage of the records and everything are within the department right now. So that's basically what it does, and there's no additional cost to it or anything. It's just a time-saving thing and paper-saving process.
And Madam Chair,
Representative Hausman.
It doesn't go as far as the counties would like us this year, but we were told by the Attorney General's office that if we did that, that it could stop all projects, and I don't think anyone would have wanted that. So we're saying we do expect some recommendations back. It's onerous paperwork, I think, on the local level, and we all are agreed that there should be another way, but we're giving them a little bit of time to come up with those recommendations. I support the amendment.
Representative Leader moves the A3 amendment. Is there any further discussion by members? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. The next Representative Leader, you have the A1 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A1 amendment.
Representative Leader moves the A1 amendment, and to your amendment, Representative Leader.
The A1 amendment basically moves some bonding capabilities from fiscal 2017 and 2018 to 2011 and 2010-2011. This is at the request of the department. What it does, it doesn't really increase dealing with the fiscal, with our fiscal analyst. It doesn't increase the cost of the total bond, but it does shift the projects from, as I said, the 17 and 18 to the years of 11 and 12. So it expedites those projects, and they also would request that because in the event, and it, not only the event, but they're getting stimulus monies, that allows the department to match. So basically what it amounts to, it takes $200 million each year for the year 10 and 11 from the years 17 and 18. So it doesn't increase the total bond that was passed or the total bill, but it moves the dates when they can use it. And as I indicated, it really doesn't change the cost of the total. It changes initially, might be a small change depending on the interest cost for the principal and interest of the bond. But it does expedite the projects, and it allows them to be way ahead of schedule.
And Representative House,
I support
any comment?
I support the amendment.
Representative Leader moves the A1 amendment. Any further discussion by members of the committee? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. A1 amendment is adopted. The next amendment on the list is the A17-1 amendment. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is a $1 million grant to the City of Perham for a resource recovery facility. There are, I believe, four counties involved in this, and this matches up with Senate language. There is a provision put in that the counties must agree to achieve a 60% recycling rate and an organics recovery rate of 15% by 2025. I'm not aware of any opposition to this amendment.
Representative,
so I move the amendment.
Madam Chair, I support the amendment, and the Senate does have it at a different place, but that's certainly something we can work out in the conference.
Very good. So Representative Davids moves the A17 amendment. Any further discussion by members? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. A-17 is adopted. The next amendment is A-23, Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll move the A-23 amendment. What this does is change the word in the bioscience grants to innovative business development public infrastructure grants. This opens up this process so that any new business that is moving technology forward, whether it's fuels, farm, medical device, pharma, manufacturing, just about anything with a new technology. And I will I'll read what that definition is. An innovative business means a business that is engaged in or committed to engage in innovation in Minnesota in one of the following: using proprietary technology to add value to a product, process, or service in a high technology field, researching or developing a proprietary product. All this does is open up to a wider range of people to use this to advance technology in the state of Minnesota.
And Representative Hausman.
Madam Chair, I support the amendment, and Deed has also signed off on the amendment.
Very good. So Representative Mahoney has moved the A-23 amendment. Are there further discussions or questions by members of the committee? Yes, Representative Junkie.
Representative Mahoney, you mentioned agriculture and fuels, yet on the last line I see tourism, forestry, mining, transportation, or green manufacturing. I don't see agriculture or biofuels listed.
Representative Mahoney.
First page. Bottom. We just read the definition.
Wait. Searching. That is correct. It doesn't.
How come the northern guys get mining and forestry and we don't get agriculture?
My understanding is that this would come, Madam Chair, my understanding in talking to Deed that this would cover that, but it would not actually cover buying a new tractor. I mean, it would, if you were developing a new seed, a new value-added product for food, it would cover that.
Representative Junkie.
So I just want to make sure it's in there. We can talk further. I'm not going to monkey with it right now, but before we get to finance, let's just make sure it's included. And
sir,
Representative Hausman, any further discussion on that?
I'm supporting it.
Okay. So Representative Mahoney moves the A-23 amendment. Any further discussion by members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. A-23 amendment is adopted. The next one is the A-25 amendment. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A-25 amendment.
Representative Hansen moves the A-25 amendment. To your amendment, Representative.
Madam Chair, 2 years ago we had passed this provision to provide for a barrier for invasive aquatic species, the Asian carp, and there's been a lot of news lately relating to that along Lake Michigan. We had passed this 2 years ago. The Department of Natural Resources provided us with this language. They had not been able to use the money, but we have a provision in the bill that relates to the Coon Rapids Dam. By modifying this appropriation from the previous bill 2 years ago, that would allow this use of looking at the Coon Rapids Dam, which would be the only option that they would have for a last-ditch barrier to protect the upper Mississippi. That would be a fallback for invasive aquatic species, the Asian carp. So that's language we received from the DNR, $500,000. It would allow that to be used to renovate and construct that barrier at Coon Rapids Dam.
And Representative Hausman.
Madam Chair, I support the amendment.
Representative Hansen moves the A-25 amendment. Any further discussion or comments by members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. A-25 amendment is adopted. The next one on the list is the A-27, Representative Solberg.
And Chair, I move the amendment. This amends laws that were in place from 2006 and 2008 for the development of the proposed steel mill in Itasca County. The grants were for the Itasca County, but actual ownership of some of the facilities, like the railroads, Itasca County Railroad Authority, and so it needs to have some clarification so that the ownership matches up correctly. Additionally, I believe that there's a provision that says that if something isn't used for one particular phase of the project, let's say for the, if there's extra money available that is not used on the pipeline, it can be used for wetland mitigation or other things that are eligible in the project as it was defined originally. And I think it's clarification language. My understanding is everyone has signed off, including management, budget, and bond council.
Representative Hausman.
I support the amendment.
Representative Solberg moves the A27 amendment. Any further questions by the members of the committee? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. A27 amendment is adopted. The next one on the list is the A28, Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the A28 amendment. And members, what this does is 2 years ago we gave money for demo and construction of a new facility, Building 9, out at the Minneapolis Veterans Campus. What this will do with the underlying language is just add a few more uses for the $1 million. We have demoed the building. There's about $215,000 remaining in that fund, and rather than cancel it back, this will just see that it gets used in the entire building project as we're moving forward, which is should start hopefully this year.
Representative Hausman.
Madam Chair, I support the amendment.
Representative Junkie moves the A28 amendment. Any further comments by the committee? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. A28 amendment is adopted. The next amendment on the list, and by the way, these are in order, so we're not having to shuffle too much, but the next one on the list is the A13 by Representative Howes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment would allow the Department of Natural Resources to purchase the Lake Vermilion State Park property and go over the cap, the 12% above the appraised value.
Representative Hausman.
Madam Chair. Well, Madam Chair, I would hear committee discussion, I think, first.
Okay, Madam Chair, then, if I could, since we're going to discuss it a lot, I would like to verify and reiterate that I'm kind of opposed to this, but yet...
Does that mean you withdraw?
Since I'm the lead Republican on this committee, it's my job to wave the governor's flag just a little bit. So I'm presenting the amendment. I would hope that you would give the administration the courtesy. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Any discussion on this? Representative Rukavina.
Well, I'm glad to hear that Representative Hollis is telling the truth on this. And so I think that was a polite request to just tell us to vote it down. Wasn't that not the case,
Madam Chair, Representative Rukavina, the request is that you be a gentleman, statesman, you be honorable, and you just pass it. I know it's hard, Tommy, but...
Well,
Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair, you know, I have a map, and I've been trying to explain to you, you know, and
we're going to be paging.
You know.
Junkie and I.
Thank you for doing the page job.
To see this, and here's Lake Vermilion. You were talking, you know, about 20 some miles here, and this is the current state park, which I explained to you
a little bit, so you can't reach
really.
It.
This is the current state park on Lake Vermilion, which we already have. Which has never had any of the shoreline development, actually no infrastructure other than the old Sedan Underground Mine. This is the new purchase, which is so hard to develop. And I think the reason we put a cap and the $20 million was there because, and the $12 million, I think, is what the appraised value is, if I'm not mistaken, was that so some of the money could actually put some infrastructure. Members, what I'm afraid of is just like the park that's currently on Lake Vermilion and that is 40-some years old, there will never be any development for the public to use it. So I think that has to be addressed because to buy another 5 miles of shoreline that's never going to be able to be, the public's going to be used, it seems to me rather ridiculous. And we haven't answered that question. And I won't even get into all of these great pieces of shoreline that the DNR and the state also own all over the lake. So you guys can roll that up.
Is
now.
There a cabin you can show us? There?
Representative.
You want to see the cabin? Well, we won't get into that.
Any but further? Yes, Representative
I would oppose the amendment right now.
Any further discussion by members of the committee? Representative Howes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Rocavina, I can't argue your points. They're well taken. I again would just request that the committee, I think, even though I'm opposed to the project in general, I think it's the right thing to do is simply give the administration the authority to do what they got to do.
Madam Chair.
Any other? Representative Rucavina.
I just want Representative House to note for the committee that I was a gentleman during the whole presentation there.
You were a gentleman.
Representative Wilginius. Representative Wilginius has the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I want you just to note that I have introduced with Representative Hackbarth the language. It's not similar, it's identical language. I think it's not correct to say that we know the appraised value because DNR does not let the appraised value be known by law until after a settlement is made or an agreement is made. What we do know is that the offer and acceptance is above the 12%. So we do know that. Obviously, wouldn't have to have this language. This is the 12% is our typical law. What we will hear about this particular property is extremely hard to appraise. You can say it's not developable. Other people will say it's highly developable. Extremely valuable. So I think we could argue that point all day. I'm not going to do that, but I do want to note I am voting for this amendment and that Representative Hackbarth and I have introduced this bill.
Any further discussion on the House A13 amendment? If not, all those in Representative Hausman, did you have any further comments?
Madam Chair, if you're wondering how I'm going to vote, I am going to vote with Representative Wagenius and Representative Howes. This is not one that I thought it was only fair that the whole committee really had the opportunity to hear. There are certainly two sides of this.
Exactly. Any further comments by any other members? If not, we'll go to a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. A13 amendment is adopted. Next amendment is the A4 amendment. Representative Rucavina.
Members, this is an amendment that just allows an extension on an appropriation that was made in a previous bonding bill. The city of Tower has had both some federal grants, state bonding, some Iron Range Resources grants made to this particular project, and it's moving along just fine, but there were some holdups because of some federal requirements in the appropriation from the Fed. So this would allow an extension on the previous bonding money that they got.
Representative Representative Hausman.
I support the amendment.
Representative Rucavina makes a motion for the A4 amendment. Any further discussion by members? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. A4 amendment is adopted. Representative Rucavina, you have also the A10 2054 amendment. And we've seen this one before. Thank you.
Members, this just says basically that we're going to try to buy American and all of the purchases of goods for this bonding bill and for all of the things that it's going to build or refurbish. So to the extent possible, we're going to try to do this. I think it's time that we start facing the fact that this recession, I think, is as deep as it is because we don't manufacture a lot of things in this country anymore, and this is an attempt to try to fix that up, and we have done it as far as steel and other things in the stadium bills previously for the Twins, I believe, and the University of Minnesota football stadium. So I offer this amendment and ask for all of your support.
Ms. Representative Solberg.
Well, I'm sitting next to my good friend, and I support the concept of it. But we do have MinSCUs and other groups that have a certain amount of money that's been appropriated and requested. And I want this to work, but when we put in on page line 1.16 the more than 15%, there may be a reason for it not to be able to work because of that. So I would move, and I would hope my friend would support, on line 16 to delete by more than 15%. And I think then it keeps it within the contents of the appropriated money. And I would ask for everyone's support of that.
So Representative Solberg moves an amendment to the amendment, and on line 1.16 to delete the last five words, by more than 15%.
And Madam Chair, if I may, I think that the American workers and our products are competitive with anybody else in the world. And I really do believe that this will help to
Madam Chair,
Representative Rukavina.
I will accept that Representative Solberg's suggestion as an unfriendly amendment. But, you know, I understand where he's coming from. I believe that, you know, the American workers, the most productive worker in the world, and perhaps that language isn't needed, but so I'll accept it as an unfriendly amendment.
Madam Chair, you can kind of
Solberg.
Tell how the Iron Range delegation love each other.
Yes. Representative Howes.
Thank you, Madam
Representative
Chair.
Howes has
Representative Rukavina, to continue to show you that I'm very helpful and I don't hold grudges or anything. I'll probably vote for this amendment, but when are we going to do something that says we only use workers from the state of Minnesota when we create these jobs? If we could.
Well, Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair and Representative Howes, we're trying to do that without getting in trouble with our neighbors. If you notice the reference in local workers in here, and by the way, you know, the only thing worse than a sore loser is a sore winner, so I don't know what you're complaining about over there.
Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Howes, I've been working on that for a few months and trying to figure out how to get around. There's some Supreme Court decisions and federal appellate court decisions that don't make it real easy. But I think we can try to. In fact, I've talked to the chair, and she's going to have hearings after this on how we can try and figure out how to do that.
You know,
Representative
Rukavina. I passed Made in America things, and people haven't taken them to court. And perhaps it's time to, if the federal government is going to do certain things that are right for this country right now, Representative Mullery, that we just do them. You know, you attorneys sometimes worry a little too much about constitutionality and unconstitutionality instead of what is right. And this is right. In these times, it's the right thing to do.
And Representative
Mullery.
It's
the state's money, and we should try as much as possible to help the state workers and the American workers as we buy these goods and build these buildings and fix these other things up.
Representative Mullery. Well,
Madam Chair, first of all, the Made in America isn't an issue here because I wasn't talking about that, and I'm not even talking about the materials, which I've been also trying to figure out a way to make clear that we can do that. But we also don't want to get into lawsuit, and we don't want our workers not working or something because of being held up. We got to get people to work as soon as possible this year with bonding projects that get out right away. So we'll just look into that. And the chair's already agreed to that.
Representative Hausman, to the amendment and to the amendment to the amendment. Did you want to weigh in?
I support the Solberg amendment to the amendment.
So to the amendment to the amendment, by deleting on line 1.16, Representative Solberg has moved to delete the last five words by more than 15%. Any further comments? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. The Solberg amendment on line 1.16 is passed. Now to the amendment, A10-2054, Representative Rukavina moves that amendment as amended. Any further discussion by the members? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. The A10-2054 amendment is approved. The next amendment on the list is also Representative Rukavina. You're on a roll. A19.
Well, I'm on a roll, but even if I bat 666, it'll be pretty good. Let's try this one. Members, you know, this is an actual increase in the bonding bill, and since I don't think the bonding bill has a target, maybe I can be corrected by Ways and Means Chair.
Not yet.
Okay, good. So this is a legal
you may
move.
Force it.
Members, what this is attempting to do is after we have a bonding bill that we continue to have, as Representative Hausman said, people keep working. That's the nature of the building trades. But this is an attempt to use our agricultural products and wood products to heat our buildings and produce electricity, perhaps, instead of buying coal and fossil fuels. So it had worked in the past. It's an increase in the bill by a mere $20 million. I don't think this bill is big enough. I'd like to see a $1.2 billion bonding bill. And so since the governor's already threatened to veto your bill, Representative Hausman, what's a mere another $20 million to help the agricultural and industry in the state of Minnesota?
And Representative Hausman.
Well, Madam Chair, this is sort of heartbreaking because, of course, I would like very much to support Representative Rukavina, and even on the issue of a larger bill. But I have I feel that I have am part of an agreement among the two bodies and between the capital investment chairs to try to stay just a hair under a billion, and so regretfully oppose this. What I would like to say is, there are a number of grant programs, energy, solar, biomass, what I would like to do is, we may have the luxury of a few other hearings, is have a hearing where we focus on those new grant programs, moving a new direction, and sort of spend time in discussing and debating ideas that haven't perhaps had quite so much time, but regretfully, since this takes it above that mark, I will have to oppose this.
Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair, I certainly wouldn't want to be the one to break Representative Hausman's heart this early in the session, so I'll I'll withdraw the amendment that for the time being. But again, we have to, I think, well, I know you would. Yeah, right. Should you say that? No.
Representative Rukavina.
I'm withdrawing the amendment, but I'm coming back with something like this just so the members know, because we have to use our products. And
the next amendment on the agenda is the A22. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment.
Representative Clark moves the A22 amendment.
I move the A22 amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment basically mimics the agency's request of the governor for funds to deal with our foreclosed and abandoned properties in the state of Minnesota. We have a foreclosure crisis, of course, all over the state. 26,000 foreclosures a year, approximately, and we expect this is going to continue on, this trend of foreclosures. The federal help is not really being very helpful right now. So what we do with this amendment is just change the language that's always in there slightly. We're saying that instead of having the $5 million that's there to go for one purpose, or to be used in one way, we want to use it in two ways. One is to they'll have these nonprofit housing bonds that the agency would sell to be used both for those properties that are connected with neighborhood land trusts, so that the properties are, the land continues to help keep the property affordable, and then the other part to be used for the regular purposes of acquiring and preserving and rehabilitating foreclosed properties and so on. So this mimics what the agency had requested, and it has a $400,000 debt service that I've actually been talking with the chair and Representative Solberg about. We're not quite sure how that'll work out in the end, but for now we want this to go forward and see how we can work with it.
Representative Hausman.
And, Madam Chair, I support this amendment. I told you earlier that those two lines on the bill may not even make it to the floor because I really, you know, I have put general fund money that that I'm sure either the finance chair or the Ways and Means chair will weigh in about, and this relates to that, but it clearly reflects the two priorities that MHFA had for that. They asked for much more money, but this divides it, that smaller amount among the two ideas, so I support the amendment.
Any other discussion on the 822 amendment? Representative Solberg.
I'm sure we have a couple of days before this reaches Finance Committee and Ways and Means Committee, and I would ask that someone go to bond counsel in a very short time, give us some direction on this as well, because at the present time, I think there is a cost that we probably will have a very difficult time covering. But at least by putting it in right now, it will alert the bond council to be able to do that.
So you're recommending that we put it,
well,
we vote on it today?
And with the understanding that it may be very temporary, but it will give us an opportunity, I think, to have formally asked some bond council for some help.
Any further discussion by members?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I would concur
Representative.
With Representative Solberg as well. The bill will be up in Finance tomorrow night and then Ways and Means the following day. So if we can get the answer to that question before it's before one of the two committees, that would be helpful.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. The A22 amendment is adopted. And the next amendment, also Representative Clark, is the A10-2059.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A10-2059 amendment. And I have a slight verbal amendment to it as well that I'd like to incorporate into that.
Okay. What is your slight verbal amendment,
Representative Clark? On line 111, I'd like to delete the words risk assessment and insert remedial investigation.
Representative Clark moves to delete on line 111 the words risk assessment and insert the words remedial
investigation.
Investigation.
Yes. It's just the correct words that should be there. And I can explain the amendment.
Yeah.
Can I incorporate that into my amendment?
You're making it wrong. Okay. All right. Representative Clark, through your amendment.
Members, the reason that this amendment is before you today is to really avoid a problem that happened this summer that I witnessed part of it, and that is this relates only to the closed landfill part of the bill, and we have at the closed landfill in Washington County where there were The state had decided that we should dig up all what was in there and reline the whole landfill, and both the state and 3M were paid for that. I went out to see what was happening one day to look at it because I've been following this a bit, and on the front page of the Star Tribune article, you'll see a big machine there that's picking up some of the garbage and that stuff that's in the landfill and putting it up on a mound. The people who, you can't tell from this photo, but I do have photos that show the people who were operating those machines were wearing hazmat suits. They were wearing white suits. If you turn the page and you look at the next two photos, I guess it's two pages away, you'll see the workers who were hired to pull the new liner over the ground the landfill was the stuff that was in there to be put back on top of it again. These folks, as you can see, they're wearing street clothes. They have no coverings for their face. They have no protective gear. And I was quite concerned when I saw this in the Star Tribune. I called OSHA at the department here and talked to them, and I talked to several different people. And apparently these folks who are, as you can tell, if you read the article, most of them have Southeast Asian names. And I asked the contractor if these were mostly people from Southeast Asia. And he said, with that heritage, and he said, the contractor that they were working with, that seemed to be true. These folks did not have any protective gear. And so what this amendment does is says that when this kind of work is being done in a closed landfill where there are extremely hazardous chemicals and others being dug up, as we know there are here at this site where there's PFCs and volatile organic compounds and all other kinds of things, that the state and federal laws requiring occupational safety and health protection of the workers must prevail. They must be followed. You would think it would be, we wouldn't need something like this in this bill. But there was no change, as far as I know, to the situation that was going on there, even though I did call. And this just, the only thing it really adds, in addition to following the existing law, is that they should report to our House of Representatives and Senate, the committees that have to do with labor and environment, how they are complying with these occupational safe and healthy standards, and have an on-site monitoring compliance plan. Now, my understanding is that they normally would have an on-site monitoring compliance plan, so we're not really adding anything new there, but we're just putting it here in language, hopefully sending a very strong message that when we clean up landfills in Minnesota that are closed, that have hazardous waste and other products in them, we need to protect the workers that are hired to do that work. All of the workers, not just the ones who are riding on the machines.
And Representative Hausman, comment on this amendment.
Well, Madam Chair, my understanding is this applies to closed landfills. My understanding is it says, conform to federal law, tell us how you're conforming with federal law, and monitoring to assure your following. So I would support the amendment.
Any further discussion by members? So Representative Clark moves the A10-2059 amendment as amendment on line 1.11. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. A10-2059 amendment is adopted as amendment. Any further discussion by members of the committee? Representative Rukavina.
Well, Madam Chair and members, I just want to get back to the vote we had on the proposed expansion of the Sudan Underground Mine State Park. And, you know, I don't think I don't have a problem with purchasing more land on Lake Vermilion if that's the obligation or the wishes of this committee. But I do have a problem with BSing the public. And I think that's what's going on here, because I can't see where we're going to have a state park on Lake Vermilion now that you've upped the purchase price to the full $20 million, which Representative Wagenius, I think, included in there at least some money to begin infrastructure. Now, I think the state inherited the Lake Vermilion State Park in 1968, if I'm not mistaken. I'm looking around here for DNR guy ran out of the room, I think. Where is he? Okay. There he is, 68. And there's been absolutely nothing done to, other than go down in the underground mine to let the public use all of that shoreline. Plus, there's 22 miles of other state-owned shoreline, not to mention county tax forfeit and that. So I saw an article in the paper where Commissioner Holston himself said to develop anything on this property would cost $30 million. Representative Howes or Representative Hausman or Representative Wagenius, will it be another 42 years before we see a road put in or an outdoor privy or a boat slip for the people to use? Because there's absolutely, with 27 miles of shoreline on Lake Vermilion controlled by the DNR, there's not one boat slip for the public to use. There's some public landings, and that's it in many different parts of the lake. So why have purchased land for a state park that's never going to be a state park?
Representative Wagenius.
I think that question is addressed to me, and let me help out here a bit. First of all, the agreement is to pay United States Steel $18 million. There is $20 million sitting on the table right now. U.S. Steel has said is the park, from their assessed point of view, is worth $20.5 million. So they are going to deal with the U.S. government and ask for to be allowed to give a gift and get a tax break for that gift. But we have no involvement in that. So it's $18 million. There's $2 million left on the table. DNR believes that it can put roads in there for primitive camping with that $2 million. a $30 million project is a, I would agree, is a pretty, what do I want to say? That's a king's proposal. I don't think we need to go that far. I don't think we ever will go that far. So we don't have to do the luxury of what you would get in $30 million. So that's one issue. Keep talking about the Sudan area, but I've gone up there, and it's all in these little private boathouses where the public can hardly have access. I mean, there isn't one lake access, but you know that those little boathouses have been grandfathered in for many generations now. That's part of the legislation you've given to us. So it's not really developable, and so I think what we're looking at is another piece of land that has better potential for development.
Well, so Madam Chair, Representative Wagenius,
Representative Rukavina, you know, and we're getting close to the recess time. So
I want a commitment from the people that are pushing this to do something. Representative Wagenius, you couldn't punch a road 10 feet into that hunk of rock for $2 million. And what you just said about the boathouses is absolutely not true. You're listening to Bob Myers, who came in front of this committee, and Representative Lynn Carlson was there, and he agreed. There's 5 miles of shoreline. You can see it here. I'm not lying, Representative Genius. This is the map of Lake Vermilion here, upside down. Right here. Here is the state park. Right here. These points are beautiful points out here. Those boathouses run from my thumb to my thumb. It's never been built on. There's infrastructure. There's a road that goes in there. There's sewer and water up above Sudan for RVs. There's nothing here. Here's the highway going to Ely. What you're saying is absolute crap.
Okay, Representative Rukavina.
It is. So what we want out of you, if you're pushing this, and Representative Rugenius and Representative House, is don't BS the people of this state. You are not going to have a state park on Lake Vermilion for $2 million. You are not going to have one for $30 million. In fact, the county commissioner from that area says to do anything that was said in that article in the paper a couple weeks ago about the gem. This isn't a gem. This is cubic zirconia.
We have,
you know,
we have three.
This is what we're talking
Representative
about.
Representative Rukavina, we have three people waiting.
Well, Madam Chair, I have a right to have my question answered. If they're telling the public that they're going to build a state park on Lake Vermilion, they should build a state park on Lake Vermilion. But they shouldn't buy another 5 miles of shoreline when they own 27 and they've done nothing with it.
And Representative Rukavina, I think if we had a crystal ball, we could give you an answer. We're all looking toward the future. And Representative Wagenius, did you want to respond? Or
I think you've said.
It's cubic zirconia is what it is. It's not a
okay.
jewel.
Okay, so we'll go to Representative Wagenius.
Name-calling is not appropriate, so let's just leave it at that.
Thank you. Representative Howes, did you want to
Madam Chair, I just want to make it clear again, and I'll speak slowly. I do not support the Vermilion Park or the purchase of the land for that. I did the amendment as a courtesy to the administration. I've done my job. I've done what I said I would do. I hope they don't build anything there and they just leave it a wilderness where we can go shoot deer and grouse and do whatever we want.
Thank you, Representative House. Representative Clark had asked next to speak.
It's not to this point, but if I can, it is
a
different point.
We have a couple of more people, okay. If not to this point, Representative Rukavina.
And Representative House, I'm glad that you said that because that's exactly what's going to happen, and that's fine. Let's be honest. And Representative Wagenius, I didn't call you any names. I said what you said was not.
Okay.
It's not. Those boathouses don't take up 400 yards in 5 miles of shoreline.
Okay.
There's infrastructure there. There's nothing that's going to be put there. I'll bet my farm against yours out in western Minnesota on that if you want to do it.
Next person on the list is Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would like to address a section of this bill that addresses a major concern for all of us up in northwest Minnesota, and that has to do with flood mitigation and water retention. We are facing again the prospect of another major flood. We had a wet fall again like we had in 2008. We have now already equaled the snowfall total for 2009, so the stage is set for another year of major flooding. And I want to publicly thank Representative Hausman, Chair Hausman, for a couple of things, and I've privately thanked her, and I want to publicly thank her. Number one, thank her for matching the governor's $50 million proposal for flood mitigation and water retention in our basin. And secondly, to thank her for her author's amendment that fixed some of the language that I was concerned about that will now enable communities to be able to do some things they would not have been able to come up with the matching funds under the previous language of the bill. So thank you for that. There is a remaining problem, though, with respect to this proposal. The bill, for the first time, now separates out water retention from flood mitigation. And the bill says that for various impoundment projects, $23.5 million is set aside for those projects. Those are all good projects. We need a lot of water retention up our way if we're going to solve our problem. In fact, it's so good that it covers all of the requests that have been submitted from our part of the state. Covers every one of them. Unfortunately, only one of the projects has a direct impact on flooding level in Moorhead and in our community, and that's the Red Path project, a great project. We hope that that project moves forward. So there is that issue. That leaves $26.5 million for all the other flood mitigation requests that there are. And there's a total of $109 million of requests, and this bill allocates $26.5 million. Just to have the money necessary to match the federal requirements on four of the projects would require the state to come up with $25 million. So that eats up virtually the whole $26.5 million that remains. And so that is a problem. If you look at all the other requests, all the other communities, you've got a total of 22 communities in Minnesota, all the way from Montevideo to Ada to Crookston to Roseau, Granite Falls. All of those communities have to compete for what's left over if you don't use it for federal qualification, for federal matching. And so my point, members, is that our problem is huge, and this bill is a good positive step in the right direction, but there is this issue that the $26.5 million is going to be well short of taking care of a lot of important needed projects. Representative Leader has a request for his community for $15 million. We've got a request from Roseau for $6 million, Ada $4 million, Granite Falls $2.3 million. I could go on and on. And we've got a lot of important projects that are not going to be able to be funded with this. And I wanted all of you to be aware of that. Thank you.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to mention I had a couple of other amendments that I discussed with Representative Hausman. And what I understand is that we're probably going to have a policy bill that will deal with some of those kind of issues. I just wanted to mention to the committee, because there were folks who did a lot of work on them. One of them has to do with making sure that some of a fair share of the jobs that are being created do go to those communities that right now are underemployed, especially including our low-income rural tribal communities and communities of color. That will be an amendment that's later offered in this policy part of the bonding bill or bonding bill. And I also had one on healthy flooring. Those of you who were with me on the trip throughout the a lot of the bonding committees, I kept asking the folks that we were visiting what they were going to put on the floor in the buildings that they were either rehabbing or building, and some of them were even public facilities. Because I have a big concern. We know a lot now that there's problems with the kind of flooring that we live with and that we've been using in the past that are very unhealthy for us. And so I have a bill an amendment that I'm not offering that would utilize the standards that the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency does now use in its housing to make sure that we're not using carpet and other kinds of flooring that really creates some of the health hazards that people have been living with. So I just wanted to mention that, and I think they'll be part, hopefully, of another bill that we bring forward from the bonding committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Any further, Representative Erdahl?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just as I was coming in, I was handed something a little disconcerting to me from New York, dated February 9th. Moody's has revised the outlook on the state of Minnesota's general obligation bonds and state-supported debt to negative from stable. And I was just wondering what impact that would have on bond sales, if someone would care to respond to that.
Representative Hausman.
The wonderful news is, I don't know if they handed you the whole sentence and whether we have it, but they have changed from stable to negative for our general economic outlet. But if it's the same sentence I read, the second half of that says they have not downgraded us relative to GO bonds. We've retained our rating. So what that tells me is Moody's is looking at us and saying, that state has a budget problem, but they have continued to bond responsibly. Their debt is still responsible. And so I kind of thought that from a bonding perspective, that sentence was good news. And I don't know if we have that sentence, but I think we should copy that probably later and circulate it committee. Because I, to me, when I saw the two pieces of that, I thought this is probably a way that they said you've continued to take a responsible approach to debt.
And Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Chair Hausman. Yeah, the next sentence is Moody's has affirmed the state's AA1 general obligation. I just wanted to get some clarification on this.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. And Representative Hausman, do you have any final comments? Our Representative
Scott.
Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wondered if we could hear from House Research on the comments on that article. I know I talked to Corinne before, and she was familiar with it.
House Research, Corinne Zewers.
Madam Chair and members, there are three different rating agencies, Moody's, Standard & Poor's, and Fitch, and this is one of the three rating agencies. And as Representative Hausman said, what they did is they did not downgrade the rating, but they changed the outlook from stable to negative. So it's hard to say how this will impact the next bond sale and if it will. So,
any further comments by members? Representative Hausman.
I just thank all members for their attention.
So, Representative Hausman renews the motion that House File 2700 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. And thank you for being timely members.
Meeting is adjourned.
Meeting is adjourned.
Did she say meeting is adjourned?
Meeting is adjourned.